Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brook. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brock, founder of Homeopathy World Community, taking time out of the day to study and learn how to practice homeopathy by reading Dr. Samuel Hahnemann's Organon of Medicine. Today is September 2, 2010, and you're listening to show number 86. I thank you so much for joining me today. It was a trial and tribulation just trying to get on, and we are expecting hurricanes to come in through tonight, and I may be out of power altogether. We shall see. Continuing on with our inspirational quotes that come from Twitter today, man stands in his own shadow and wonders why it's dark. This is a Zen proverb put out by Pilates Body, New York City. And I responded, because when you're on Twitter, you try to have conversations with people. And so I retweeted it, and I said, is this possible? Man casts a shadow. So can he be standing in his own shadow, or does it fall away from him? It's kind of like a one-hand clapping. The next inspirational quote comes from Fast Self Help. He quotes Wayne Dyer. The state of your life is nothing more than a reflection of your state of mind. And the third quote comes from Ted Lutz on Twitter also by an unknown author. It says, do not ask the Lord to guide your footsteps if you are not willing to move your feet. So where shall we move from here? Into some of the activity going on, there's one thing that I'd like people to take a look at, and that is a New York Times article that was put up there yesterday about an 18-month-old boy who started taking antipsychotic drugs on the orders of his pediatrician just because the boy had severe temper tantrums. Now, probably homeopathy could approach this situation for the child and find out a more meaningful and healing answer. Well, this little child at 18 months continued on and on from doctor to doctor, taking more and more drugs until the parents realized that they were not doing him any good or doing the family any good until they came upon someone who was able to help him. But meanwhile, this boy was on antipsychotic Risperdal, the antidepressant Prozac, two sleeping medicines, and one for attention deficit disorder, all by the time he was 3 years old. He was sedated, drooling, overweight from the side effects of the antipsychotic medicines, and his mother was at her wit's end, but I think that she did come to the realization, all we're doing is drugging and medicating this boy. After a lot of therapy, he got off of the drugs, most of the drugs, I think, except for like one. And they, in the end, they said, we have our son back. And as we've discussed before, each person does come in with their personality. So he is a very rambunctious type of child. He's smart, he's funny, he's loud, he's intelligent, is what his mom was describing, and he's bouncy. There's never a dull moment, but he has a little few behavioral issues, but he's like any other normal six-year-old. So I think that the world, our society, is starting to take a second look at drugs and medication, what it does, the repercussions on each individual, and whether we really want to get in touch with the person or put them into a state of what I call zombieism. Also on the network, there's a lot of activity and discussions going on, discussing language and the state of homeopathy today. Okay, so now we're going to go ahead and read. We're going to review just a little bit on aphorism number 63, and I will check to see if anybody's called in. I've got about three windows open because of my computer problem. So the reading is, first I'd like to review 63 because it is so central to our understanding of homeopathy. Everyone always asks, how does homeopathy work? And many speculate and provide their own theory. The answer may elude us because homeopathy works on the concept of connecting a material world with an immaterial, spirit-like world. And since there are no words really to explain spirit, only how it is reflected in our material world, the only way that we can really describe is through these actions, through metaphor. And yesterday I mentioned a metaphor about a ball being bounced, and then after the show I felt this was an incorrect metaphor that applied in a different situation. Instead, I kind of imagine more of a huge bubble with a person inside this bubble, or the curly and energy photographs showing people's auras. It's more of an energy interaction, a connection that matches the individual, something that's an overlay and begins this energetic, we would call it something that's occurring between the two forces. So aphorism number 63 reads, every agent that acts upon the vitality, every medicine, deranges more or less the vital force and causes a certain alteration in the health of the individual for a longer or shorter period. This is termed primary action. Although a product of the medicinal and vital powers conjointly, it is principally due to the former power. To its action, our vital force endeavors to oppose its energy. This resistant action is a property, is indeed an automatic action of our life-preserving power, which goes by the name of secondary action or counteraction. So here we have Hahnemann's words again. And today, as I reread it, I pick up on the third line here. He says it's a product of the medicinal and vital powers conjointly, meaning that it is something new, it is something that is working together. And this is what we see, the derangement of the individual, just like that little boy, his behavior was changed, and it was deranged by the medicinal agents. When the body comes in contact with this is what I'm getting out of my personal take on it, when the body comes in contact with this similar medicinal image and recognizes the similarity, the initial primary action begins. And then the vital force responds with the secondary healing action, which kind of throws off that which has been deranged or changed. Sometimes in my mind's eye, you can use visualization, and I'm thinking of something kind of melting away, which was not of the original vital force or essence. I'm simply using the imagery and metaphor, but I don't really completely understand it myself. So I'm going to put that out there, and if anybody has more descriptive words that makes it clear in our minds, I appreciate that. Each person might have their own form of visualization. I return to the idea that each person's autonomic nervous system, the subconscious, an entire being on earth is here to find purpose, meaning, and survival skills. When everything is working in harmony, the disorders disappear. and the individual simply is. To me, it's all very Zen, very esoteric, that even though Hahnemann is succinct and clear and realistic and giving us positive information that we can grasp a hold of, the understanding of how homeopathy works, that seems to be in a realm that is difficult to describe and explain. So that's my conjecture and poetry for today, and now we'll move on to aphorism number 64. And as we do that aphorism 64, I would like to read or refer again to aphorism number 19, where Hahnemann describes what is a medicine. He says, a medicine, in summary, a medicine is a substance with the ability to alter human health. And he says, actually, now as diseases are nothing more than alterations in the state of human of health of the healthy individual, which express themselves by morbid signs, and the cure is also only possible by a change to the healthy condition of the state of health of the diseased individual. It is very evident that medicine could never cure diseases if they did not possess the power of altering man's state of health, which depends on sensations and functions. Indeed, that their curative power must be owing solely to this power they possess of altering man's state of health. So here again, we can take the example of this little boy. The parents thought he was having temper tantrums, and he was actually a very rambunctious, bouncy, lively kid, and his state of health needed to be tweaked, I guess, so that the tantrums were not occurring so much. And obviously, I don't feel as if that they did reach a curative action, because they're still giving the child medication, but they are working toward a better family dynamic in understanding that that child was not moving toward cure with so many medications. Going on with 64. During the primary action of the artificial morbific agents, medicines, on our healthy body, as seen in the following examples, our vital force seems to conduct itself merely in a passive, receptive manner, and appears, so to say, compelled to permit the impressions of the artificial power acting from without to take place in it and thereby alter its state of health. It then, however, appears to rouse itself again, as it were, and to develop the exact opposite condition of health, counteraction, secondary action. So that's the second half of the what happens in the medicinal agent. To this effect, primary action produced upon it, if there be such an opposite, and that in as great a degree as was the effect primary action of the artificial morbific or medicinal agent on it, and proportionate to its own energy, or be, if there not be in nature a state exactly the opposite of the primary action, it appears to endeavor to indifferentiate itself, that is, to make its superior power available in the extinction of the change wrought in it from without by the medicine, in the place of which it substitutes its normal state, secondary action, curative action. And here comes to mind a law in physics, equal and opposite reaction or force. With each force, and I'm going to have to look this exact wording up because I didn't do that. In opposition to one force is an equal and opposite force. And that seems to be what he's implying here when he talks about the primary force or the primary action and then the secondary action. And so that's why I keep thinking about this imagery of the person's being or vital force, and then an overlay of, and there's this derangement which has become conjoined with the healthy state, and then applying the medicinal agent to bring that person back to a state of health without the derangement. The curative action is essentially the initial action of the medicinal agent and involves the generative power of the life force. The action of healing is undertaken by the power of the life force and gives us the counteraction or the healing reaction. It doesn't sound like it's a chemical reaction. I know it is not chemical. It is, there might be some changes in the body taking place when a person has an imbalance, whether it's a hormonal imbalance or an endocrine imbalance or blood imbalance or whatever their imbalance is. We're bringing a person back into a state of health, back into a state of balance, and it is occurring rapidly, gently, and permanently in most instances when it is especially in acute state. Now let's see where we are with a few more minutes left. Anybody have anything to contribute? I would love to hear from you. Otherwise, I might end up cutting it short today, or because unless I just go ahead and read aphorism number 65, there's so much to say on 64, and I'm sure many people have written about it, because to understand these two reactions, the primary and secondary action, helps us to understand where we manage the case and take it from the continued dosing, repetition of dosing, or waiting, or as we observe and see what is occurring in the individual, because you could get an aggravation, which would be either something good or something not good, depending on the force of the aggravation or how to manage that aggravation, whether it is gentle, using LMs, water doses, or whether you have missed the mark and have not chosen the correct remedy, and then there's something else that comes up, which is a different kind of aggravation. So we have to be very careful and knowledgeable of what to expect, how the cure occurs in each individual. Okay, so I think there's enough time to read number 65. Examples of A are familiar to all. A hand bathed in hot water is at first much warmer than the other hand that has not been so treated, the primary action. But when it is withdrawn from the hot water and again thoroughly dried, it becomes in a short time cold, and at length much colder than the other secondary action. A person heated by violent exercise, primary action, is afterwards affected with chilliness and shivering, secondary action. To one who was yesterday heated by drinking much wine, primary action, today every breath of air feels too cold, counteraction of the organism, secondary action. An arm that has been kept long in a very cold water is at first much paler and colder, primary action, than the other. But removed from the cold water and dried, it subsequently becomes not only warmer than the other, but even hot, red, inflamed. This is the secondary action, the reaction of the vital force. Continuing on with this aphorism number 65, excessive vivacity follows the use of strong coffee, primary action, but sluggishness and drowsiness remain a long time afterwards. This is the secondary reaction. Secondary action. If this be not always again removed for a short time by imbibing fresh supplies of coffee, which is a palliative action, after the profound stupefied sleep caused by opium, primary action, the following night will be all the more sleepless. The reaction is secondary action. After the constipation produced by opium, primary action, diarrhea ensues, secondary action. And after purgation with medicines that irritate the bowel, constipation of several days' duration ensues, secondary action. And in like manner, It always happens after the primary action of a medicine that produces in large doses a great change in the health of a healthy person. That its exact opposite, when it has been observed, there is actually such a thing, is produced in the secondary action by our vital force. So here we have the three of these aphorisms kind of working together. Aphorism 63 introducing this concept. Aphorism number 64 explaining a little bit more about the primary and secondary action. And aphorism number 65, which is giving us some tangible examples, which he says we are all familiar with. This is something that we have experienced in our own lives when we have either taken something to eat, something to drink, or actually plunged our body into different temperatures of water, that we feel one way and then we feel the other way depending on where we are in the sequence of events, where we are in this process, whether we're in the primary action mode or we're in the secondary reactive, the counteraction aspect of this formula. It seems like it does sound very much like a chemical reaction, A plus B equals C kind of a thing, or how they interact together and what is the outcome from A and B. So I guess A is the vital force, B is the medicinal agent, and then C is the outcome. And he seems to always take us back to the same examples. Maybe it is because it is something everyone has experienced, whether they have imbibed wine or liqueur, whether they have taken coffee. He doesn't specify tea here. Coffee is a very, very popular drink today, and people drinking it all over their lattes and all their fancy drinks and all the stores that are out there, the little cafes and people meeting together, and then they wonder why they can't sleep. And so that is what he's giving us as examples. And the third example he gives, opium, which is a very strong drug that subdues the senses, that put you out of your misery if you're in pain, if you've had an accident. Sometimes it can be used in a very helpful way when you're being operated on. However, if you are taking it as a recreational drug, then you're going to find a lot of things are going to change in your body and change in your mind from taking this type of a drug. And it also can become very addictive, and again, you need more and more. That's why he also talks a little bit about palliation here, that it is only temporary for a short period of time until the disease state returns again. I hope this has been helpful today. We've covered three aphorisms, and we'll be ending the session and saying goodbye until next week, unless anybody has any comments. No callers today. Okay. I thank you very much for listening. Take your Organon off the shelf and read it. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.